For decades, I feel like we've had this very specific image of what it means to actually write software.
Right, yeah. Like sitting in a dark room typing green text.
Exactly. It's
Yeah.
like constructing this massive skyscraper, but you have to personally lay every single brick by hand.
Yeah, and if you mess up one brick.
The whole thing just collapses. Like if you miss a single semicolon, the entire building instantly falls down.
It really is an exercise in extreme, almost punishing precision. I mean, you're memorizing all this complex syntax, adhering to incredibly rigid language rules,
Right.
and manually wiring every single function together, literally line by line. It's a process where the human basically has to think entirely like a machine just to get the machine to do anything useful.
It's exhausting just thinking about it. But imagine if instead of laying the bricks yourself, you could just like stand on the empty lot and describe the building you want to the construction crew in plain English.
Just tell them what to do.
Yeah, and then you just watch them build it for you in minutes. Well, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're looking at a massive shift that might completely change your career trajectory.
Whether you actually work in tech or you just use it every day.
Exactly. We're breaking down this whole concept called vibe coding.
Which is quite the name.
It really is. So our mission today is to figure out what this actually means, right? Like, can you finally skip years of learning how to code the old-fashioned way?
That's the big question on everyone's mind.
It is. And we want to see how this alters the whole dynamic between humans and computers. Okay, let's unpack this because the very phrase vibe coding sounds, I don't know, a little bit like magic.
Yeah, or just the latest internet buzzword.
Right, a buzzword that's going to vanish in like 6 months.
I mean, it definitely does have that buzzword ring to it, I'll give you that. But looking at the actual mechanics of what is happening in the industry right now, this is not a passing trend.
Really? You think it's here to stay?
Oh, absolutely. We are looking at a fundamental evolution in how humans and machines collaborate to build software.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, because large language models have finally reached this threshold where their ability to understand context, generate functional code, and even debug their own output.
Which is crazy.
It is. It's reliable enough to actually change the daily reality of development. Like, we aren't just talking about some cool new autocomplete feature here.
Right.
We're talking about a workflow where developers spend more time reviewing and refining code than they do typing it from scratch.
Which is just wild to think about. But before we get into like how this is shaking up the tech industry and the job market,
Yeah.
we really need to define exactly what this vibe even
Yeah,
is.
what it actually looks like in practice.
Exactly. Like on a Tuesday morning at your desk, what are you doing? So vibe coding is essentially this style of development where you communicate your intent to an AI system using natural language.
Right, plain English.
Yeah. Instead of writing every single line by hand, you just describe the vibe of what you want, the features, the behavior, the general look and feel.
And you really have to think about the difference in cognitive effort there. I mean, you
Yeah.
might type a prompt describing a login form or a complex data pipeline.
Or even a whole feature.
Exactly, an entire application feature. And the AI just generates the corresponding code. Then you, the human, you iterate on that output until it matches your vision.
So you're basically steering the ship rather than rowing it.
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
I was trying to wrap my head around this whole thing, and the best analogy I could come up with is a bustling restaurant kitchen.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
So in traditional programming, you are the only cook in the kitchen.
Right.
You're chopping the onions, you're reducing the sauce, plating the dish, and washing the pans all by yourself.
Doing every single step.
Yeah. But with vibe coding, you elevate yourself to the head chef. You write the menu, you taste the food, you decide if it needs like a little more salt.
And the AI is doing the rest.
Exactly. The AI is your incredibly fast, endlessly eager sous chef. It's doing all that repetitive chopping for you.
I like that. And that repetitive chopping, that's what programmers actually call boilerplate code.
Oh, boilerplate, right.
Yeah, it's the standard tedious setup files and structural logic that every single application needs, but it requires absolutely zero creativity to write.
Just totally mindless work.
Exactly. So framing it as the head chef and the sous chef is actually incredibly helpful because it clarifies this crucial middle ground.
You're in.
Well, vibe coding is not a no-code tool.
Oh, right, because no code is totally different.
Yeah, no-code platforms hide all the technical complexity behind these drag-and-drop visuals. You never even see the underlying code.
Right, it's just a black box.
Exactly. Vibe coding, on the other hand, it generates real, readable, editable code.
So it's actual programming. But on the flip side, I'm guessing it is not a magic wand that produces flawless, production-ready software with zero oversight either.
Oh, definitely not.
Like, the head chef still needs to taste the dish before it goes to the customer.
Yay.
Right? Otherwise, you might serve up a beautifully plated dish of, like, totally raw chicken.
Yes, and nobody wants that. So let's actually walk through what that time in the kitchen looks like on a daily basis. The core loop of vibe coding, it always starts with describing intent.
Okay, so step one.
Right, step one. The developer writes a highly detailed prompt. Then step two, the AI generates the code based on, you know, the patterns it learned from its massive training data sets.
Makes sense.
Then the third step is review and test. The human developer reads that generated code, runs it, and checks the behavior.
And if it's off, which, I mean, let's be honest, it often is on the first try, we hit step four.
Right, refine through iteration.
Yeah. The developer adjusts the prompt, tells the AI what it got wrong, or just directly edits the code themselves and cycles through that whole process again.
Exactly. And finally, step five is validate and ship.
The best part.
Yeah. Once it passes the human standards, it gets committed through normal version control, just like any handwritten code would.
And just for anyone listening who isn't super deep into development, version control, like Git, is basically a save state in a video game, but for your code.
That's a perfect analogy.
Right. It tracks every single change.
Yeah.
So if the AI accidentally breaks something completely, you can just roll back to the version that worked an hour ago. It's your safety net.
It really is. And the reason businesses are paying very, very close attention to this entire loop is just the sheer velocity of it.
The speed, yeah.
Right? It literally collapses the time between a raw idea and a testable prototype.
It's crazy fast.
Just think about the math on that for a second. Teams that used to spend, like, weeks just scaffolding the basic architecture of a new feature.
Which takes forever.
Yeah. They can now generate a working first draft in a single afternoon.
Wow.
It drastically reduces the engineering hours per feature, which, of course, lowers development costs enormously.
Oh, startups must love that.
Oh, especially startups and lean teams operating on tight budgets. It's a game changer.
Okay, so if the AI is doing all this heavy lifting, we really need to talk about the tools that are actually doing that lifting.
Yeah, let's get into the toolkit.
Because it's not just a single program, right? The ecosystem is just exploding right now. At the entry level, we've got GitHub Copilot, which integrates right into your existing code editor.
Right, and it suggests completions based on your context.
Yeah, it's like a supercharged autocomplete.
Mm-hmm.
But then you move up to something like Cursor AI, which is an editor built entirely around AI chat.
Yeah, that one is really interesting.
It lets you talk to your entire code base as if you were literally interviewing it.
The ecosystem is becoming highly specialized, really based on what you need to achieve. Like, if you are dealing with longer, more complex code bases.
Let's keep architectural discussions.
Exactly. A tool like Claude AI is often preferred for that because of its massive context window. But then you have tools like Windsurf, which offer an agentic environment that's designed to handle multi-file changes somewhat autonomously.
Wait, hold on. Agentic? That sounds a little bit sci-fi.
I know, it does.
Are we saying the AI is making architectural decisions on its own and just, like, rewriting my files while I go get a coffee?
Well, it's not quite Skynet yet.
Goodness.
But it is a massive step up from autocomplete. Unlike Copilot, which just sort of guesses your next line of code, an agentic tool like Windsurf acts like it has its own mouse and keyboard.
Wait, really?
Yeah. It can open your files, read the dependencies across different folders, write new code across multiple separate documents, run a test to see if it works.
It tests its own code.
It does. It reads the error message if it fails and attempts to fix its own error before it ever even prompts you for feedback.
That is just wild. And for real rapid prototyping, there are those browser-based tools, right?
Like, yeah.
Replit AI, Lovable AI, and Bolt.new.
Oh, yeah. Those are incredibly fast.
Let's look at Bolt.new for a second. You can give it a single prompt. Say, build me a plant-selling e-commerce site with a shopping cart, Stripe integration, and an email confirmation system.
A pretty complex request.
Yeah, and it just spins up an entire deployable app infrastructure in the background. Now, here's where it gets really interesting.
Oh.
Wait, if tools like Bolt.new can just generate a full working app from a simple text prompt, can a complete beginner just skip learning how to code entirely.
Ah, the dream.
Right. Like, can I just be an ideas person now and let the AI do everything?
What's fascinating here is that the answer is a definitive no.
Ooh, come on, really?
I know, it is incredibly tempting to think you can just bypass the learning curve, but foundational programming literacy is absolutely still required.
Really? Even if the AI writes every single line for me, why do I need to know how to code if I'm not doing any of the actual typing?
Because you have to be able to trace the logic of what the AI actually produced. Let's take your plant selling website example.
Okay, I love my plant website.
Right, so the AI builds the cart and the checkout flow, and it looks beautiful on the screen.
Awesome.
But when a customer buys 3 plants, the tax calculation logic the AI wrote might be multiplying the tax rate by the item quantity incorrectly.
Oh, no.
Yeah, causing your customer to be overcharged. Now, if you don't know how to read code,
I won't know where that error is happening.
Exactly. You won't know why it's happening or how to instruct the AI to actually fix it.
So you're just sitting there staring at a broken website with absolutely no idea how to look under the hood.
Precisely. You're just stuck. What vibe coding does is it shifts the cognitive load. You are no longer spending all your mental energy memorizing exact syntax for every single function.
Right, like I don't need to memorize how to write a Python dictionary from scratch.
Exactly. Instead, that mental energy shifts toward system design, prompt engineering, and really rigorous human validation.
Okay, I see. So the skill shifts from typing to directing, mm-hmm. from rote memorization to high-level architecture.
Yes, beautifully said.
It's like a head chef who doesn't actually know how a sauce is supposed to be made, cannot effectively correct the sous chef when the sauce completely breaks.
That is the perfect way to frame it. The human is still the ultimate arbiter of quality and logic.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Let's look at how this is actually playing out the real world, though. Like, who is actually hiring for this, and what are they building?
Well, the industry adoption is incredibly broad right now, but it's very tailored to the risk level of the specific business.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. Startups and SaaS companies are using vibe coding to move from an idea to a minimum viable product at just lightning speed.
And e-commerce businesses are using it too, right?
Yeah.
To instantly spin up custom storefronts and experiment with new checkout flows.
Exactly. But notice the big distinction in how different industries are using it. While startups prioritize speed to market for those MVPs,
move fast and break things.
Right. Highly regulated industries like fintech and healthcare operate under entirely different constraints.
Oh, yeah. Totally different ballgame.
They are adopting vibe coding primarily for internal tools, administrative dashboards, and rapid prototyping behind closed doors.
Well, yeah, because if a startup's new social app crashes, it's annoying. But if a healthcare portal exposes patient data because an AI wrote a sloppy database query,
that is a massive, massive lawsuit.
Yeah, game over.
Exactly. So in those regulated fields, they maintain incredibly strict human validation layers for compliance before anything ever hits production.
So the AI drafts the internal tool, but senior engineers are still combing through it with a fine-tooth comb.
Yes, to ensure it completely meets data privacy standards.
It's not just the speed that's a benefit here, though. There was a massive secondary benefit that really stood out to me in all this.
What's that?
Vibe coding creates this shared vocabulary between the technical team and the non-technical team.
Oh, absolutely. That operational shift cannot be overstated. It literally changes the entire rhythm of a company.
Because usually, a designer or a product manager has a vision, right? And they have to translate that vision into a Jira ticket, hand it to an engineer, and the engineer translates the ticket into code.
And so much gets lost in translation.
So much. Or the engineer just looks at it and says, yeah, that will take 3 weeks to build.
Right, the classic pushback.
But now a product manager can just describe what they want in plain English and a prompt and sit with the engineer to see it reflected in actual code almost instantly.
It's incredible.
It closes this huge communication gap that usually slows tech projects to an absolute crawl.
It really does. And it also fundamentally empowers lean teams and freelancers.
Oh, true.
Think about a solo developer using AI assistants. They can take on significantly more client projects without sacrificing quality on the complex logic, simply because the AI is handling all that boilerplate.
Wow, so they can just output way more work.
Yes. This is actively shifting what being a good developer means in the global market.
Okay, so what does it mean now?
Well, it's no longer about raw coding speed or having encyclopedic knowledge of syntax.
Right.
It's about your ability to orchestrate AI tools to solve actual business problems.
Which brings us to the job market, because the numbers here are really eye-opening.
Oh, definitely.
We are seeing entirely new job titles emerge out of nowhere.
Right.
Like AI-assisted software engineer, prompt engineer, and vibe coding architect.
And the salary trends mapped out for these roles are very significant.
Yeah, let's talk numbers.
While compensation always varies heavily by location, you know, company size, and the specific industry, the global directional estimates show a clear premium for these skills.
So where does someone just starting out land?
Beginners, those who understand the fundamentals and are just learning to integrate these tools to build small projects, they are starting around $35,000 to $60,000 a year.
Okay, and as you move up, it scales fast, doesn't it?
It does. Mid-level developers focusing on feature development and prompt-driven workflows are looking at $65,000 to $95,000. Senior developers who focus on architecture and deep code review, they hit $100,000 to $150,000.
And at the very top.
At the top, you have the vibe coding architects.
That title is so cool.
Right. These are the people designing the entire system flow and leading teams of AI-assisted developers. They are pulling in $150,000 to $220,000 or more.
That is serious money.
What's particularly interesting about these economic shifts, though, is the geographic concentration.
Oh, yeah. Hyderabad, India.
Exactly. It is rapidly emerging as a massive global epicenter for vibe coding and AI-assisted development.
I found that totally fascinating. Why Hyderabad specifically? Like, why is that the hub?
It really comes down to the sheer density of the tech ecosystem there.
Okay.
Hyderabad, specifically the HI Tech City area, has a massive concentration of IT parks and major global players.
Like who?
We're talking Microsoft, Amazon, TCS, Accenture, Cognizant. They are all operating massive hubs out of the city. And these companies are actively pivoting their hiring strategies right now. They don't just want traditional coders anymore.
They want the AI operators.
Exactly. They are explicitly prioritizing developers who know how to work with AI to increase their output.
Which naturally creates this localized feedback loop, right? Because all these major employers want this one specific skill, so there's a huge local surge in education to meet that exact demand.
Yes, the education sector there is pivoting just as fast.
I was reading about these structured, project-based vibe coding courses in Hyderabad, particularly those offering placement support, and they are absolutely booming.
They are.
They are churning out candidates with the exact hands-on AI-assisted skills that are suddenly the absolute baseline requirement for these massive tech firms.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I might need to book a flight and take a course myself.
Honestly, it wouldn't be a bad idea. The region is essentially acting as a real-time laboratory for the future of the global tech workforce.
Okay, so high salaries, incredible productivity gains, the ability to build apps in minutes, entire cities booming around this tech. So what does this all mean?
Well,
it has to be a catch, right? What happens when the AI gets it wrong? I was thinking about this whole black box effect.
The black box, yeah. It's a huge issue.
Because it must be incredibly frustrating to have to debug code that you didn't even write yourself.
It is very difficult.
Going back to our kitchen analogy, it's like walking in blindfolded, tasting a totally ruined sauce, and having to figure out which of the 50 spices the sous chef used too much of, but you don't even have a recipe to check.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that frustration is the exact reason why the industry is so aggressively defining best practices right now.
Trying to get ahead of the mess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because treating the AI as a replacement, an architect, is a recipe for complete disaster. Treating it as a collaborator, a drafter, is the ultimate best practice.
Right, because the AI can lie to you.
It frequently lies.
Or at least it can hallucinate and look like it's telling the absolute truth. Like, AI code can look completely correct,
yeah,
beautifully formatted with helpful little comments all over it, while actually containing subtle logic errors.
Or failing in really weird edge cases that you wouldn't even anticipate.
Yeah.
But actually, worse than logic errors, it can reproduce insecure patterns.
Ooh, security risks.
Big ones.
Yeah.
We have to remember how these models actually work. They are trained on vast amounts of public code scraped from the internet.
Right.
And because they learn by reading billions of lines of open source code, they also learn all the bad habits and lazy security practices of everyday amateur programmers.
That makes total sense. So if you ask it to build a login system,
it might use a completely outdated hashing algorithm just because that specific algorithm appeared 10,000 times in its training data.
Yikes. So if you aren't reviewing the output for authentication flaws or input validation, you are basically just shipping broken, vulnerable software to your users.
Exactly. And beyond that, there are big legal questions too.
Oh, like IP?
Yes. The licensing and intellectual property rules around AI-generated code are still heavily, heavily evolving.
Because what if the AI spits out a block of code that happens to be an exact match of a copyrighted algorithm from some major tech company?
Right. Who is liable for that? The developer, the AI company. Teams have to be really, really careful about the enterprise terms of the specific tools they are using.
So there's technical flaws, legal risks, but there's also a human cost, isn't there?
Definitely. There is a long-term human cost if this isn't managed correctly. If you rely entirely on an AI to generate all your logic, what happens to your own skills?
You just lose them.
Yeah. Over-reliance on AI can severely erode a developer's core problem-solving muscles over time, especially if they stop engaging deeply with the logic behind the code.
It's the classic use it or lose it. Like,
Yeah.
if you stop chopping onions for 10 years, you're going to get pretty slow at chopping onions.
Exactly.
How do professionals avoid these pitfalls? What are the strict rules of the kitchen to make sure this doesn't happen?
First, you have to write highly specific, detailed prompts. Vague requests get generic or incorrect code.
Okay, so be specific.
Very. Specify your constraints, your edge cases, and the specific libraries you want it to use. Second, rigorous human review.
Right.
You absolutely must test AI-generated functions just as strictly, if not more strictly, than handwritten ones.
Which circles back to version control.
Yes. Using discipline, Git, and branching, even for the absolute smallest AI changes, ensures you can always, always undo a mistake.
That is so crucial.
And crucially, developers must document why decisions were actually made.
Why is that so important?
Because when an AI generates a block of code and commits it, it lacks human context. It doesn't explain itself.
Oh, true.
So if another developer looks at that code 6 months later, they need the documentation to understand the business logic behind it, because the AI certainly didn't leave any notes explaining its thought process.
It just drops the code and leaves. So it all comes back to intent and oversight. As we look ahead, the trajectory is pretty clear. The tools are only going to become more agentic.
Meaning they will require less and less handholding. Future AI assistants will handle longer, multi-step tasks entirely autonomously.
Like planning a whole feature.
Planning a feature, writing the code, testing it in an isolated environment, and flagging issues before a human ever even steps in for review.
Wow.
This pushes the developer's role even further away from typing and much, much closer to pure direction and quality assurance.
So for you listening, if you want to get ahead of this curve and actually leverage this for your own career, there is a very clear roadmap for beginners here.
Absolutely.
First, you have to learn those programming fundamentals, variables, functions, control flow. You just have to know how the engine works before you can drive the car.
It's non-negotiable.
Then pick just one AI tool. Don't try to learn them all at once. Pick Replit AI or even just ChatGPT to start.
And build something small but complete.
Like what?
A simple to-do list app, a budget tracker, or maybe a personal portfolio site.
Right. Don't just passively read tutorials. Start practicing prompt engineering today. Try asking the AI to build a specific button three totally different ways and just see how the code changes.
And trace the logic line by line until you understand exactly what your sous chef actually did.
Right.
Ultimately, the individuals who invest in this hybrid skill set, mastering the foundational logic while working fluently with AI tools, they are the ones who will be perfectly positioned for the future of the industry.
It really is a whole new world.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up, just thinking about the long-term trajectory of all this, where does this ultimately leave us in, say, 10 or 15 years?
Well, consider the concept we discussed earlier, vibe coding acting as a shared vocabulary between technical and non-technical people.
Right, closing that gap.
If natural human language, literally just speaking plain English, becomes the absolute dominant programming language, the barrier to writing code is entirely removed.
Completely gone.
Right. Which raises a pretty profound question. Does the distinction between a software engineer and a product manager eventually disappear entirely?
Oh, wow.
Will the tech industry of the future even have programmers as we know them today? Or will tech companies just be populated entirely by system directors?
System directors.
People whose only job is to imagine a product, deeply understand the business logic, and expertly articulate that vision to a machine.
Just an entire kitchen full of head chefs, constantly tasting, tweaking, and refining, while an army of invisible AI sous chefs chop the onions at the speed of light.
Exactly.
That is just an incredible image. And honestly, it kind of blows my mind to think about how close we actually are to that reality. It's a fascinating future to prepare for. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll catch you on the next one.